Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When Maren Alsop became music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra in 2007, no other major orchestra in the world was led by a woman. Even today, as she prepares to relinquish the conductor's podium, only a handful of orchestras have a woman at the helm. In 14 years, Alsop has not only worked to grow the pipeline of female conductors through fellowships and other opportunities, she has broadened the BSO's network in other ways. When she looked ahead this spring to her last concert as music director, which will be a week from Saturday, June 19th, she decided to commission a piece to mark the date, not her date, but the significance of Juneteenth, the day in 1865 when a Union general brought news to enslaved black people in Texas that they were free. Alsop turned to two musicians she's pulled into the BSO's orbit. James Lee III, professor of composition and theory at Morgan State University, has composed works for the BSO, as well as many other orchestras, for a decade. He joins us by Zoom. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Anthony Parker, known to all by his stage name Wordsmith, is a hip-hop artist and music entrepreneur in the midst of a two-year term as artistic partner with the BSO. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Sheila. Proud to be here.
Wordsmith, you and James Lee III were already collaborating on a piece for the BSO about Frederick Douglass. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that was actually James and I first piece that kind of brought us two together and started building our friendship as well. I've always believed music is better when you can build a, you know, friendship with your collaborators. So we were working on this Frederick Douglass piece, and then the Maren Festival started coming together, and I can truly see Maren herself push for James and I to come together to create this piece that's called Destined Words. So I think it was something that was fate in a lot of ways, and it was something that represents the type of person Maren is, as she champions for change.
Professor Lee, how did you shift gears with the new commission?
I was excited to work on this new piece, and since I had already talked with Wordsmith about the other piece, I thought it would still be a very natural collaboration. I actually started composing a little bit of it for orchestra when I thought it was an orchestra piece only. But then a couple weeks later, I was informed that we would like to also collaborate with Wordsmith. So I did a nice shift, and it actually turned out to be a much better piece with narration.
Wordsmith, you're going to be performing the text that you wrote. Is this hip hop?
I wouldn't say it was hip hop, Sheila. I would say it's me delivering a message, you know, more than anything. I don't want people to genre fire or anything like that. I think with James and I adding the text is giving some imagery, you know, to the music. And so with my words, I wanted to, one, explain Juneteenth. I felt that was important for those who may not know the significance of Juneteenth and why it's important. And then also talk about where do we go from here? You know, celebrating our independence up that day, but where do we go from here to keep pushing things forward and progressing society? So that was a lot of my thinking during the writing process of this.
Professor Lee, of course, I have not heard the work. The world premiere is June 19th. But here's part of what you wrote about it in the program for the concert. Quote, "The music progresses with depictions of battle scenes during the Civil War. During these passages, there are hints of the songs The Battle Hymn of the Republic and Dixieland in the brass and woodwinds. Additionally, a prominent quote comes from Lift Every Voice and Sing in the woodwinds. At the climax, the trumpets sing freedom in the notes F and D." Close quote. It sounds very celebratory.
There are elements of the music that are very celebratory, but then once we come to a shift in the mood and the music, it actually has some darker aspects in terms of the hope for an eventual freedom from slavery, and of course, a mental freedom as well. So when you'll hear all of that, but the music does actually shift so that it's not celebratory the whole time, but it's reflective and kind of has a hopeful sound as well, and a soulful sound in terms of these woodwind instruments singing, kind of personifying human beings and their longings for freedom.
Why did you call the piece Destined Words?
I called it Destined Words because when the general came to, when he went to Texas, this concept of slavery could not really exist indefinitely. And those words, you are now free, all slaves are free, would eventually have to occur, and freedom would eventually have to happen. So that's why I call it destined words. Those words that were destined to occur to really provoke the idea or to be the catalyst for an eventual freedom.
As composer James Lee III, professor of composition and theory at Morgan State University, on the record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is hip-hop artist and BSO artistic partner Wordsmith. We're talking about their collaboration on a piece that will have its world premiere on June 19th at Maren Alsop's final concert as music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Lyric soprano Renee Fleming will also perform, as will the children's orchestra Alsop founded, Orchids. Wordsmith, how did a hip-hop artist come to be in a performance like this?
Well, Sheila, you know, through my career, I've been able to write in a lot of different genres. I think I'm just known more, you know, with hip-hop being my base, but I've always had a true love for classical music and just creating music and working with different collaborators from around the world and different genres. And this is just really a chance opportunity about 3 years ago of doing Light City. I was booked for Light City with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. We were at the same press event with Tanya. We started talking. She
this
found
is
that I had a love
Tanya
for
Tanya McBride Robel. This is Tanya McBride Robel.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. And during our conversation, she kind of said, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested in this, but would you ever be willing to work with the orchestra? And I told her that was on my bucket list, definitely. And so the first project we did was Carnival of the Animals. And I think I was amazed at the level of freedom they gave me to update it to today's time, to relate more to the youth of today, but also to urbanize it more and steer it more towards the Black community and create the diversity that I feel the BSO is seeking. So the relationship progressed to me rewriting Beethoven 9 and Ode to Joy, which will be premiering in 2022, hosting the gala 2 years ago and getting to the point where and Maren had a lot of push in this. She championed me to be a part of the, you know, the regular staff as a partner who can help usher in some, I would say, reimaginations of old classical pieces while writing some new compositions that really can, I would say, resonate with the Black community. So I would say diversity is the main thing on the table here. And I didn't want to come in with just a title, you know, and that was something I was very blunt with the BSO about, and they understood. So to me, this is a bold statement that they're making, allowing James and I to premiere a piece that's done by a Black songwriter like myself and a Black composer and James. And again, with this bearing the Maren Festival, this should be about her. It just shows you what she's about. You know, she's always about championing others in progress.
Professor Lee, how did you come to know Maren Alsop?
I came to know Maren Alsop back in 2007, I think shortly after she arrived here as the music director of the Baltimore Symphony. I attend concerts regularly there, and at one point I met her after a rehearsal session. So we just talked, and then she looked at some scores eventually, and she decided a couple years later that she would commission me to write my first piece for the BSO back in 2011. So that's how that all got started.
I want listeners to hear something Alsop said in a conversation she had recently with NPR Scott Simon. He asked her what from her Baltimore experience she would take with her. And here's part of what she told him.
This is a city that has inordinate struggles. And it's somehow, you know, retained its unique personality. It's retained its caring quality, but the struggles continue, you know? And I would say that for me, the takeaway is that through it all, we stayed strong and we stayed connected and we tried to move forward. And I'm thrilled to keep a long-term connection to both the orchestra and the Orchids program. And you know, I want to always be available and a resource for anything they might need.
Wordsmith, what do you expect Maren Alsop's legacy to be in Baltimore?
I think her legacy is going to be a daring one. She was very fierce. You know, I know from my perspective, when I used to pass the Meyerhoff and I felt that it was a place that I never could enter or I felt welcome, you know. And she was one of the people that she just made you feel comfortable working there, never felt inferior at any point in time. And I just love how daring she is. You know, a lot of, I would say, the progress the BSO has made over her tenure is because she was willing to break the rules. You know, she was willing to not stay boxed in into the typical classical community and say, hey, you know, we loved our subscribers, but we also know that the youth is going to be the one that's going to drive classical music into the future. So how do you relate to them? You got to do pieces that's going to relate to their times and that they can relate to. So she's going to, I think, always be remembered as a trendsetter out here, besides just being the first female conductor, you know, as well out here in Baltimore.
Professor Lee, how do you see Maren Alsop's legacy?
I see her legacy as one of really striving for equality for all people. I think one thing that I really appreciated about noticing her in her time here in Baltimore was her inclusiveness with a variety of different styles and composers in terms of composers of color and women composers as well. I think that's something that she really brought to the city of Baltimore. I had been here only since 2005 when I left the state of Michigan when I was a student. And I just really noticed that she really wants to uplift people from all backgrounds and all cultures and to bring the music to the ears of the audience so that we can all really appreciate and to embrace the art and the artistic creativity of various composers of all walks of life.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to me about it. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wordsmith is a hip-hop artist, music label owner, entrepreneur, and artistic partner of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Composer James Lee III is a professor at Morgan State University. On Tuesday evening, they'll discuss Destined Words with NPR Scott Simon through the Enoch Pratt Free Library, part of its free Summer Break Baltimore program. The event runs from 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday. We have a link to register for it at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Maren Alsop's final concert on June 19th is also free, live at 8:30 p.m. that Saturday on Maryland Public Television. We'll hear more in a moment, after a short break, on the record, how businesses and groups around the state are joining in that celebration, and more about the Young Musicians Project, ORCIDS. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The audience at Maren Alsop's farewell concert as music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra on Saturday night, June 19th, will hear her reflect on 14 years in this city. Here's one of her points.
The symphony is destination point, but it's also owned by the community. This is the only major orchestra in the United States that was founded by the city. I wanted to reconnect the orchestra to the community. That very first season, we were able to sell every single seat at every single concert for $25. The feeling I had when I came down to the hall and there were lines around the block, I realized, this is a community that's interested and curious and wants to get involved.
For some who work with Alsop at the BSO, there's a sense of coming full circle. The Maren Festival that will culminate in the Juneteenth concert has been going on for weeks, virtually and in real life. It connects many communities and businesses. One of its masterminds is the BSO's Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer, Allison Burr Livingstone. She joins us by Zoom to tell us about the festival and reflect on working with the first woman to direct a major American orchestra. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheila. I'm honored to be here.
The festival map on your website shows so many pins of events in so many places in Maryland honoring Maren Alsop. I can't count them. Tell us a few highlights. of what's going on in this festival.
We're so excited to be able to not just celebrate with our core BSO family, but to be able to bring all elements of the Marin Festival to as wide an audience as possible. It's so connected to what Marin has been about her entire tenure with the BSO, which is grounded in accessibility and inclusion. Our Marin Festival map, we have about more than 50 partners, I believe, who are joining us by offering special products, themes, discounts, experiences for individuals to enjoy at home. Of course, there's a lot of fun food and beverage opportunities. You can get, you know, the dance of the sugar plum snowball at Ice Queens, the bittersweet symphony cocktail, the Blue Pit Barbecue, the list goes on. We also have great partners who are inviting residents in to experience their business, like the Ivy Bookshop, who's curated a women in music section, or Flowers and Fancies, who has designed this beautiful floral centerpiece in honor of Marin's iconic red cuffs. So you can bring a little taste of the BSO and a feeling of Marin and what she has meant to the BSO into your homes now through June 19th. Many of those partners are actually providing opportunities for people to tune in and enjoy that June 19th gala broadcast together. You know, we are partnering with MPT, which is tremendous in and of itself, but we have a couple of community viewing hubs for people to be able to begin to enjoy and experience music together in a small group, be it or a socially distanced way, but also free. So we've got viewing hubs in a couple different locations, you know, in Baltimore City, in Frederick, in Montgomery County. You can go on to that map and find hopefully a venue near you. And there are also a couple of restaurants who are going to be tuning their channels to MPT that night. So you can watch while you dine, so to speak. So there's really no excuse not to particularly experience that amazing program that's coming on June 19th.
How long have you worked with Marin Alsop?
Well, I first started at the BSO in 2010. And it's actually a funny story because I started my first job at the Symphony almost the exact same time that I received my acceptance email to be an inaugural Rusty Musician.
You have to tell us what Rusty Musicians are.
So Rusty Musicians, it's a program that was purely an element of Marin's imagination. Part of her desire has been a goal to bring community back into the Symphony, as we heard her share at the top of this program. Rusty Musicians and BSO Academy are two of those initiatives that really focus on adult amateur musicians, you know, providing meaningful opportunities for them to forge personal connections with BSO musicians and to have that onstage side-by-side experience. It's almost like a fantasy camp. Rusty Musicians is like a one night only fantasy camp, whereas Academy is a week long fantasy camp. So I'm a clarinetist is one of my background points. And I had applied to become a Rusty Musician for that very first program that happened on the stage at Strathmore in February of 2010. And again, it was a point of kismet, I think, that I started my first job and my first experience of Marin, though, was seeing her leading me with my clarinet alongside the members of the BSO.
Well, do you remember what your impression of Maestro Alsop was, the conductor, as opposed to your boss?
Well, you know, I think Marin is a communicator, you know, and that comes across on stage. I think about the fact that so many people know and love her also in the sense that during a regular concert, she will turn around and take the microphone and talk to the audience and communicate. So that was very much, I think, the experience being on the stage. She had a way to really make all of those Rusty Musicians, such as myself, feel comfortable and feel welcome and feel at home and learn something different. You know, Marin is a genius, and she is a genius with the baton, and she is a genius musician, but she has a way of inspiring excellence from all of her musicians, as well as inspiring excellence from those amateurs who joined on the stage with me that night.
That's Allison Burr Livingstone, Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer for the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. On the Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Marin Alsop's 14-year tenure as the BSO's music director, wrapping up later this month. When you came to the BSO, Allison, the Orchids project had been underway just about 2 years. Let's hear Marin Alsop reflect on that.
My passion for connecting led me to founding Orchids. When I see these kids playing instruments, I think that is probably the greatest source of pride I have. It really validates my belief that every child is born a genius, but we have to give them tools, we have to give them opportunity, and we have to give them futures filled with possibility.
So describe what Orchids is now. How many schools, how many kids?
Orchids is really a program that is a music program, but it's more than a music program. It is about using music as a vehicle for social change. When Orchids first started in 2008, it had 30 first graders at one school in West Baltimore. It was still when I started at the BSO and had the pleasure to see the students and the program growth for many years, was still at one school. We are now serving more than 2,000 students at 10 Baltimore City Public Schools, both across West and East Baltimore.
And you have done all the fundraising for Orchids. Why is Orchids so important to Maren Alsop?
When Maren founded Orchids, she had a desire for the BSO to be social advocates for Baltimore's students. She founded the program with her own MacArthur Genius grant money. Again, I said she's a genius. She truly is a genius. Certified genius. And the goal in terms of creating social change and nurturing futures, it's all about nurturing promising futures in music, but also more so in life. There are certainly students now who had been with the program from the very beginning and our first alumni class of Orchids. Some of them are now in college. And some are pursuing music or music management, but others are pursuing other things. And the biggest thing is about showing possibility and to be able to encourage and show young people that you can be whatever you want to be. But it takes investment and it takes support. And Maren had the vision and the fortitude to be able to make that happen. And it's something that will continue. And it's a real legacy point for her because she has created an entire new generation of Orchids who know her as Miss Maren, right? And who will go on to be the future citizens and leaders of Baltimore and of the world.
Orchids is something she intends to keep her hand in, right?
Yes. So when Maren steps down from the podium on June 19th, that will be her last concert as music director, but she's not truly leaving. So one of the interesting things and the exciting things about Maren's transition to music director laureate and Orchids founder is the fact that she will maintain a relationship with the orchestra as well as with Orchids. So she will certainly be involved with the continued growth of that program. Also, I think Maren is happy to share that, she still will have a home in Baltimore. She's not really going anywhere in that regard. The other exciting piece of that laureate tenure is the fact that she will also be leading the orchestra at least 3 concert weeks a year. So she continues to be able to have influence on the orchestra sound, to be additive to our future, and to be able to share her unique voice and bring really exciting projects and programs and music to life.
Allison, thank you.
No, thank you so much, Sheila.
Allison Burr Livingstone is Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. We've been talking about some of the milestones of Maren Alsop's 14 years as Music Director of the BSO and about the Maren Festival, which will wrap up with a free gala concert live on MPT a week from Saturday, Juneteenth at 8:30 p.m. Before that, next Wednesday, Alsop will bring the first season of BSO Sessions to a close when she leads the orchestra in the works of jazz pianist and composer James P. Johnson, best known for Charleston in 1923. That concert, as well as the full May 27th concert by the Orchids and other elements of the Maren Festival, will be available on BSO Offstage through the end of June. We have a link at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.